Thanks for tuning in to Spraymakers, the podcast that dives deep into the world of water skiing with Chris Rossi and Trent Fennison. This week, the boys talk through the steps it takes to look at your skiing and realize what you need to correct based on the knowledge that you have.
From my perspective, there's nothing better than getting to work with a coach you trust, you know, someone that you've got great reciprocity with, great dialogue with, someone, you know, who speaks your language. But ultimately, there's nothing more important than expanding your knowledge base enough to be able to self-monitor, right? You know, you and I both spent, I spent my younger years, I definitely spent with a coach, Ray Stokes from Australia. But then as I progressed through my career, I just ended up, you know, coaching a lot myself. And so I ended up, you know, skiing without a coach for the bulk of my career. And I know you were the same, yeah?
Oh, 100%. You know, like, I mean, I grew up in Vermont. Back before, you know, video and internet and all that. Darn it, I have to admit that.
Before the internet.
You know,
are you talking like the 1900s here?
Yeah, exactly. It feels like it's been like that far. You know what I mean? Like, wow. But, yeah. You know, so it was, I mean, really, I would consider myself a self-taught skier who had the help of, you know, wonderful people like, you know, Steve Schnitzer and I got to work together in a very formidable part of my career, and he helped me make a big jump in what I was doing, but and obviously gave me a lot of, I got to work with him day in and day out, so I got a lot of information from him. But ultimately, it's always been in my mind that I am in charge of my destiny, and I need to be able to understand every aspect of what's going on in order to make me a complete skier.
Yeah,
and you see this a lot. You can see this a lot with people who ski. I'm not saying with you, but you know, the people that ski with a coach and they just do whatever the coach says, but they miss that moment of filling in the gaps of what they're, you know, what's that 30,000 foot view of like, what is actually happening and what am I trying to do? So,
and that's, you know, that's something, well, I was gonna say, that's something, you know, if you are lucky enough to work with a coach, that's something be mindful of though. Like, you know, I guess, like, where, what I mean by that is make sure that you're not simply being instructed. Make sure you're being taught. Like, that's like my goal with everyone that I ski with is to not be needed eventually. You know, I try not to instruct. I try to teach. I want, you know, like, so that back and forth, that reciprocity is king. So, you know, typically, you know, the first question, you know, someone ends up in the water. The first question is, you know, is typically it's turned back on them. Like, what, you know, what happened there? Why did that happen? What's the first red flag that you saw? Like, what, you know, why are we here? Why are we sitting in the water? You know? And I think, if you are lucky enough to work with a coach regularly, make sure that you demand that. So self-monitoring, being able to A, you know, dissect your own skiing and B, being able to, you know, most people have ski partners that oftentimes love to coach them. So, you know, how do you get the most out of that? So Rossi, just go with yourself. Like, you're in the water at two ball, you know, regardless of the pass, we'll say it's 41. What's the first thing that runs through your mind when you end up in the water, you end up missing a pass? We'll say you end up falling a two ball. Where does your mind go? What's the first step you take for your own skiing?
I mean, if I'm falling at two ball, my brain automatically knows something happened at the gate. I didn't start with the right rhythm, the right connection, the right lineup, you know, and I missed that group. And that's where I think people, you know, that when they fall, they think immediately what happened right there to cause me to fall. And really, you know, as coaches and as experienced skiers, you and I are very familiar with this concept of like, back it up. And it's usually back it up three or four steps. I mean, I was talking to someone, you know, a pro the other day, and they were having this issue coming, you know, they weren't able to stay connected to the swing the way they wanted to into their onside. Mm-hmm. And so they were really, really focusing on, you know, that edge change and trying to stay connected to that swing. And another coach had told them, hey, man, it's actually not right there that the problem's coming. It's how you're coming into one, you know, this is a right foot forward skier. So it's actually how you were coming into one ball that set this all in motion. And, you know, that kind of mentality of backing up and trying to understand that you were in a compromised situation when you fell. I mean, when you're on the easiest thing to think about is when you're on that big swing, when you're fully connected and you're feeling it, and you know, every skier here knows when they've been on that because it's the most fun ride. You're just getting whipped around and you can't, it's almost like you can't make a mistake because you're so connected. It's like what I like to call automatic. So if we have that connection, we're going to be safe. Things are going to go the way we want. I mean, maybe we make a little bit of an error in how we choose to turn or whatever, but it will be minute compared to, you know, where you come into a two ball and fall over and there's no rope and you're left in the water going like, what just happened there? So, you know, being able to self-analyze is everything. So even, you use this comment like, you know, okay, you fell at two ball, but every pass I run, when I whip out to the end of the lake and I sit in the water, first thing I'm going to do is go through your brain works pretty fast, but I probably in a 5 second window there, I've already kind of established like, okay, what did I do well there? What did I miss? You know, that was a pass I made. That was a pass that I made. So I was clearly comfortable to make mistakes and still get through it. But I know that moving forward, I'm going to need my best moves for my hardest passes if I want to peak perform. So I'm making those recalcs all the time. And, you know, but on the same token, and this is something that's, you know, really important, is not get hung up on them. So really all I'm doing is I analyze what just happened in a completed pass, let's say, and I sit down at the end of the lake while they're shortening the rope or I'm taking my break coming back for my next pass. I'm going to analyze it in about, you know, maximum, it'll probably take me 5 seconds. And then I'm going to recalibrate what could I have done better so that I want to highlight that on the next pass. And then this is the most important thing. I talk to my kids and my students a lot is you want a short memory, meaning we're not going to live in the past. Yeah. We're not going to, you know, that pass that we made, even if it was, you know, the Phi Slamma Jamma, I was out of it at one and I got all the way to the end. You're going to get to the end of that pass and go, how am I going to run the next pass if that pass was that bad? And if you get hung up on that, then all you're going to do is you're going to retreat to that fight or flight. What you've done, you know, in years past, a lot of people will abandon all of the great skiing and techniques that they put into their skiing and, you know, they're just flustered. So I want to have that quick memory, just recap what went right. Where did I lose it? I'm going to highlight that for the next pass, make sure that I make that a focal point of my skiing. And then I'm going to forget about how the previous pass went. If it went, you know, if it went real bad, that's fine. You got through it. Six is six. There's no beauty points. Yeah, we all want to ride that swing perfect. But when you get to the end, that's the key is to just have that short memory and really understand that that's the jam. So, Trent, I mean, when you're working with your students, how do you approach that kind of setting?
Yeah, for sure. And like, and to be able to foster self-monitoring, like someone ends up in the water, you know, and it's the same for my own skiing. I ask myself this question or I ask someone I'm coaching. First thing first, like did that need to happen? Like the decision you made at that buoy, did that need to happen? Like meaning, so I think of it in terms of there's forced errors and there's unforced errors. So a forced error, let's just say I overturned three ball, pop the handle, done. So first thing I'm going to be like, hey, did I need to do that? Like, was that my best option at that moment? Meaning, was I coming in on a flat line, slightly inside the rope? The only way I was going to get to six ball is if I somehow got a lucky turn here. And if the answer is yes, that's where I was at. I was in a lot of trouble. Then I'm going to categorize that as a forced error. So then my next question to myself or to someone I'm coaching is what was the first red flag? So like you fell at three ball, what was the first thing? Like just for a moment, think back. What's the first thing that gave you pause? What was the first thing that gave you concern that perhaps you weren't quite on the right line? And you just go back as far as you can, you know, and if you're kind of new to that train of thought, just go back. Okay. Go back to the previous buoy. How was that turn? It was actually really good. Okay. Then what? Like what did you feel coming into the wake? Was like, and so I think it's sometimes it's just being really honest. I think sometimes we like to be, you know, man, I was cruising that pass and I just overturned. I'm like, well, yeah and no, you know, like look back to where you were at center line from 2 to 3, you know, like upper body was pitched forward, perhaps, you know, a little bit separated, perhaps, like what, like, I think like just taking an honest look. And again, and then I just go back, like what's as far back as you can go, even if you fell at 5 ball, like, honestly, what's the first thing that you didn't like? And that's, then your next pass, that's where you start. That's what you address. Cause I think we often get, you know, consumed with just looking at the negative effect and underlying the, or ignoring the underlying root cause of how and why we got there to begin with.
You know, human nature is to do what you do well and to,
good point.
To try it, right? To, instead of, it's like, you know, one of my sons plays, you know, competitive soccer, and, you know, it's like, you've got to not, I mean, so anyway, you know, part of his thing that we want to work on is making him faster and quicker to make his decisions and things like that. But what does he actually want to work on? Shooting.
Yeah.
You know, he he's going to take his strength and try to make it stronger. Very similarly, I've talked about this in the past. It's like a guy like me who knows a lot about fin and ski setup and all of that. I may just, my weakest moment will be when I'm like, oh, if I just had my ski set up better, that turn would have been there for me. And, you know, I have to, you know, evaluate, like when I fall and I have to sit in the water, I have to evaluate that's going to be the thought that comes in my mind first, right? Like, if I had just had 3/1000ths less tip, I don't think it would have bit so hard, and I probably wouldn't have, you know. And then you have to go, wait a second. I mean, we're talking about 3/1000ths of an inch here. I mean, if you think about what you do for your ski setups and the changes you make, you're making such minute changes that, and I'm only talking about this example. I'm not talking, you know, that everybody's making these mistakes, but the point being, I'm in my strengths, and I'm, you know, trying to make my strength even better. Whereas I would say my ski is set up better than most people's at all moments. So, true. You know, I needed to back away from that and be aware of what's, you know, what's happening in that realm. So, you know, when we get to this point, like you said, self-evaluation is the key. The issue, and this is why Trent and I do this podcast, is, I mean, that sums it up perfectly, is that what we're trying to do is fill in that 30,000 foot view for you, so that you have a good picture of what you're trying to do in all these moments. That way, when you're evaluating, you can work your way back and understand it.
Yeah.
Now, Trent, so, here's my question for you, though. So my question for you is, not every skier has a Trent in their backyard. You know, doesn't have a, you know, Matt Rini, you know, in the Orlando area where they live, or, you know, whoever else is doing it. So a lot of times, we're forced to either choose from what we feel like happened on our own. And if we don't have a great picture, then the most common thing I see so much is, you know, the guy, you know, your ski partner in the boat, or you ski with a few people, the guy stands up at the end of the lake and it's like, hey man, you just got to get your hips up. You just got to get your hips up. And so I kind of wanted you to maybe lead us into what do you say to that skier, Trent, like that, that is in that position.
Yeah, for sure. And so I think it's easy to just be dismissive, you know, just, you know, hey buddy, you know, my ski buddy, man, he really tries to help, but he just has no idea what he's talking about. So, but you can go the other way though. And you can, somebody's eyes on you can be a super valuable tool if you utilize it in the right way. So, you know, someone tells you, hey, your handle's too high coming into the wakes. So then, I mean, the first step is then to picture what they might be seeing. Like if someone has, you know, and that's a really popular thing, you know, people say, hey, your handle's just too high. Like, so if you think about, okay, what does a skier look like when it looks like their handle's too high? Their structural alignment is off. You know, they're probably their spine is tilted forward. Their hips are set back a little bit to counterbalance. So maybe he's talking about structure. So then you just turn it around and do a question like, you know, hey, what, just go all the way back. Like, hey, when I pulled out from my gates, what did my structure look like? When I swung in through the gates, what did my alignment look like? And then you can kind of, you know, in trying to analyze what it is they're seeing, you can kind of give them a task like, hey, on this next pass, will you just really be mindful when I turn in on my gate, let me know if I drop my head and shoulder, because knowing that if you drop your right shoulder when you turn in on the gate, your right hip's going to go back and you're going to be separated. And that might be why my handle looks high to my friend. You know, I think like making it kind of a team effort, you know, like, and again, I just keep going back to it, reciprocity is king. You like get that conversation flowing and make it a, you know, not just your buddy barking orders at you, but make it kind of a team effort. Here, like, here's a challenge. I want you to watch this for me specifically and tell me if you think these two things are linked.
I mean, that's right where it's at. And, you know, I think that goes back to our self-analyzation, right? Like, you've got to be able to put it together. I think, you know, in the past, I've mentioned this before, but some of my greatest moments of coming out of a slump or coming out of a rut, or, you know, I just wasn't quite putting things together the way I wanted, came from when I was like running ski school and people would jump in the boat because they wanted to watch, you know, a professional skier ski. And I mean, I've had it to where a person who has never taken a slalom pass in their life, give me, you know, I've whipped out at the end of the lake. My skiing wasn't going the way I wanted. You know, of course I'm self-analyzing. I've tried everything. I'm stuck. I'm not quite sure where that this is happening. And this person makes a comment. And, you know, as a professional skier, when you have somebody who is never even seen the sport before, very easy to do what you said and dismiss them, right? And this person made a comment and they're like, well, it looks like this. And then on the other side, it looks like that. And just the way that they said the comment to me, I can't remember the comment exactly, but a light bulb went off in my mind because I took what they were saying. I took all of the knowledge that I know from spray makers. Well, this was pre-spray makers, but you get the idea, right?
Yeah.
And so I digested what they said. I did not dismiss it, because I believe that almost everybody with the naked eye, you can see talent, you can see technique, you can see when things are right and wrong. You might not know what's causing any of it to happen. And that's what's happening with your ski partner, right? They are out there, you know, they are watching you ski and they're seeing those moments. Now, the difference between your ski partner and a professional coach is that the professional coach sees the problem and does what we talk about and backs up all the way to where it first went wrong. And the difference with, you know, with your ski partner, for the most part, they're probably going to just identify where it's wrong. Yeah. So what you got to do is be able to dig deep into those, you know, into your knowledge of what's going on and really be honest with yourself. You know, that Hail Mary turn you threw, yeah, you fell there, but you were in trouble well before that. So where did it start to go wrong? And really just understanding that you got to take out that emotional component to it. And you need to utilize that person that who is seeing exactly where your moment goes wrong. But you got to understand that things happen way, way before that. So, you know, I don't know. What do you think about, you know, when your skiers are skiing with other people, what do you see are commonalities or where do you see people miss so much in that realm?
Well, I think it's exactly like you said. Like, they, you know, I think it's easiest and most obvious to pick out the low hanging fruit, right? You know, like skier X, man, if he could only get his hips up, he'd be okay. It would be like, well, yeah, that is absolutely true. But, you know, why is this, again, like, why is this person choosing to, or why is his best available option to always be, you know, separated hips back? Is it because he's too slow? And I think it's just that. I think it's open up that dialogue, try and imagine what that person is seeing, and then, you know, give them a task on this next pass. I want you to really watch for this for me. And I think, like, that whole idea of, like, learning together, I think it gets everyone on board, and it'll make your buddies better coaches, and it'll make you a better skier. So I think, and then Rossi, in keeping with this self-analysis theme, video obviously is, like, really common. There's lots of really good camera mounts available for slalom. Video is another one, though, that can be used in a really positive way. And it can also, I have a lot of people that I'm just like, hey, don't don't just watch your video. Like, let's watch this collectively, because it can send people, you know, down a rabbit hole that they don't want to be on. What's your advice for analyzing your own video?
Oh my goodness, man. You actually led right into what I wanted to lead you into. So that's perfect. I mean, it really
is. This one can get really dark if you're not doing it correctly.
So there's a few things that come along with this. I mean, you know, I've gone through big periods in my life where, as if I'm going to be my own coach, then I need to be able to watch my own skiing. And so there's a couple things in there. One, I talked about it earlier, the emotional component. You know, people will throw on their video. I mean, okay, let me give myself for an example. I have plenty of times where I ran 41 off and I got to the end of the lake and I'm like, that can't be better. I mean, I just ripped that thing. Yeah. And then I'm like, I can't wait to go see this video and just have this perfect thing that just goes and
invite all your buddies over, have a watch party.
I want to post this on social, baby, you know? And then all of a sudden before I'm even through the gates on that one, I'm like, ooh.
Oh my gosh.
That wasn't right. And then you see like one ball and you're like, I didn't wheelie one ball. Oh, yes, I did. Oh, wow. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So then, and then what happens is you actually take a very positive experience and can make it negative. So I should have probably led this off the other way with the positive side of things, but that is the deal. So if you don't, the idea is to learn as you go. And I think the most important thing is to have a better mental picture of what you're actually doing. And again, taking out that emotional component, like, yeah, I ripped that thing, but oh, wow, I have some other things in there. That doesn't mean that pass that I just described wasn't the best pass of the year that I've run at that line length. It just means that I have room for improvement. And I ran it that easy. So those are two positive things to take away, not, gosh, my hips are back and wow, look at that wheelie. And that isn't what I thought, you know. So I think, you know, closing the gap between how you feel like it was and how it actually was, and the closer that those two things can get, the more real you can be with yourself about what's going on. Now, on the flip side of that, Trent, what about... have you ever seen somebody, you know, watch their video and go the wrong way with this? You know, like, well, to have it beat them down and then they're not, you know, they're taking their skiing from good to I suck.
Well, yeah. Well, because I think people get focused on the wrong things. So it's not to say like, you know, don't, you know, you ran what felt like a perfect pass and you see like, oh man, I actually did kind of wheelie pause at 1.3. Don't ignore that. But the way I do it and the way I suggest other people do it is watch it through a series of very specific lenses. So, you know, if you're working on, let's say you're working on just stance structure, you know, and so watch the pass one time through that specific lens. Like, I want you just to watch, like, when you cross center line, what does your stance look like? Are you balanced over your feet? Are you back? Are you forward? Are you separated? You know, and then, okay, so now put a different lens in. Now, here's the other, what was the second thing you really wanted to work on this set? Okay, now watch it through that specific lens. You know, just, you just don't want to watch, you don't want to get like sort of lost, not see the forest for the trees kind of deal. Like, you want to watch it through very specific lenses, starting at the, you know, at the most narrow focus, the most foundational thing that you know you need to do to run that pass, then start broadening it out. Be like, okay, I did this and this right. Now, next set, I'm going to work on, you know, a little bit of patience in the turn, or a little bit of you know, being more mindful of where my mass is moving as I exit the turn to get rid of that little wheelie. But I think, you know, again, like, just watch it through specific lenses. Don't get lost in the entirety of it.
I think you really nailed that part where, you know, I mean, I'm guilty of it too. Like what I described before, where it went really well, and then I got distracted by the little things that were happening, you know. And, you know, it's like, okay, perfect example would be, you know, Regina Jaques's new, you know, world record, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Watch that pass. You're like, oh my gosh, you know, she ran 5 at 41, set the new world record. I mean, that's so exciting. And then you see her turn one ball in that video, and you almost can't unsee it. You know what I mean? Like, she does this crazy wheelie, and in your mind, you're like, yep, she's done. And then she whips into two ball, turns two ball like nothing ever happened. And then all of a sudden she's just waiting on three ball. And it's almost like, what just happened? So she could get, if she was watching her own video, of course she's going to see that one ball and say, I wish I had done that better. But the idea of what you were just talking about, like the keys that she went into that tournament with, clearly were the most important things for her to work on. And don't get caught up in those little moments of, you know, she made a little bit of a miscalculation. She was a little bit loose at one. She, you know, rocked back a little bit to find where the line was tight and safety was. But like, ultimately, watch how her body's moving. Watch how she's riding over her ski. You know, she can find many things that went way better than, my point is, I think that whatever she was working on, she did really well in that moment, and she could take away all of that and just get locked up on that one ball that she turned and go, man, I suck. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, no, because
so
it would be,
it
would
be that.
Yeah, it would be easy just to get stuck at that one point, right? Not looking at the line she was on, not looking at the way she was moving. And that's just it. You know, I think, because how often do you hear that comment? Like, I hate watching my own video because it looks so worse than it feels. And my answer is always, then you're looking at it incorrectly. I'm not saying ignore the mistakes, but you need to focus on, you know, you need to see what you're doing well. and then see, then address the possibilities that are now afforded to you because you're doing A and B correctly. If A is correctly, if A is done correctly, then B can be done correctly. If B is done correctly, then you've got the opportunity to iron out C. But too often we just get blinded by C, whatever that happens to be, and we just get distracted by it, and we just, you know, baby bathwater, the whole thing's gone.
Oh, you gotta be honest with yourself. I mean, I think there are times where I will tell people, you know, use video a ton. There's also times like right before big tournaments and things like that. If you come off the water and you feel great about that set, you, and your keys are working, then, you know, maybe that's not the time to do your video analysis and, you know, beat yourself up. I mean, I think that's the part of it. I think that's why people shy away from the video so much, is that they see something that's very different from how they see it in their mind's eye while they're doing it. And that gap tends to take away confidence. And confidence is king, because ultimately, I think the summation of what we're trying to do out there is to put together the biggest, well, I don't know. I guess I had a really good thought and I kind of lost it there, but like, we're, you know what I mean? Like we're trying to put together the best pass that we can put together in the moment. And we need our confidence in those moves to be right. And when you're skiing well, even if those moments like Regina's one ball there, it always comes back to, what were your keys? How well were you doing them? And how can, you know, and that's where the video is helpful. Like, I did A, B, and C really well. Yeah, maybe D I missed. So that's something, you know, do I need that? That's something at that moment you can ask yourself, is, do I need to add D in, or will D iron itself out if I just stick with A, B, and C and repeat? So, you know, getting yourself to where you can see your skiing, then you can see it on a video and go, yeah, I saw those hiccups, but I was really working on A, B, and C. And that is what was my keys to success. And I think it's really important to have trust in that. And, you know, just keep plugging away at that 30,000 foot view, keep plugging away at your black holes and understanding them, but, you know, remain focused on the things that are working for you.